Bibles tonight. I ask you to turn with us again to Mark chapter number 9. Mark chapter number 9. It's been several weeks since we've been here on Wednesday night. We had the week of the 4th last week, and then a couple of weeks of camp meeting. We had a time with folk that were sick and different things, but so glad tonight to be here and to look into the Word of the Lord. I'm only going to read a couple of verses tonight, and one of them we finished with the last time. And I'm going to read the verse right after it tonight and kind of deal with something that I ended up with in the last time we were here in Mark chapter 9 and verse 41. I want to read that verse and then verse 42. Jesus is speaking unto the disciples, and he says, "For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea." That is reading just a couple of verses tonight, that which the Lord's impressed upon my heart. If we go back tonight for just a moment and remember the setting of the situation in our text, you'll remember the disciples and Jesus had made their way to the city of Capernaum. And as they got there, Jesus, as they were sitting in the house, asked the disciples what they were disputing about as they were on the way coming to the city. And they were afraid to answer him, the reason being that they were not talking about Jesus having shared with them that he would be crucified in Jerusalem, buried, and rise again. They weren't talking about that. But they were arguing among themselves about who would be the greatest in the kingdom. And so they were ashamed to answer to the Lord about that. So Jesus began to talk to them about what real greatness was all about. And that's what we taught about on that last time. Oh, Jesus was teaching the disciples about true greatness. And so he talked about how that true greatness involves humility. And he set a little child in the midst and began to talk to him about humility. And then at that point, John begins to remember something. I really think that John was really bothered that possibly he had done the wrong thing. So he tells Jesus, he said, "You know, we saw a man that was casting out a demon in your name. And we forbade him because he goeth not with us and walketh not with us." And Jesus answered and said, "Forbid him not, that if he's not against us, he's for us. And so Jesus was trying to correct their thinking. And I remember trying to stress that we don't ever need to have the idea that we're the only ones that God speaks to and God speaks through. There are preachers all around. There are churches all around that God works in their midst. And God uses those preachers to preach the Word of God. And maybe they have their service a little different than what we do. But if they are genuine believers in Christ and are really saved by the grace of God and called of the Lord, God uses people where they are and blesses them. And so he was talking about that. And then he closed with verse 41 that we've read tonight about giving a cup of cold water in his name. Jesus was talking about ministry. Well, tonight I want to build a little bit on the word that Jesus is, that whosoever shall give. I want to think tonight as Jesus is training the disciples and teaching them about true giving. About true giving. So for just a little while tonight, I want to mention just a little bit about what it is and Jesus was teaching about true giving. First of all, I want to say something about the reason for giving. Or could we say the motivation behind giving? There's a lot of things that are given in our world that are given for the wrong reasons. I realize tonight that there are people that give because they feel like they're expected to give. Their idea is that they have a sense of obligation and a duty to give certain things. And if they don't, it'll hurt their appearance before others. And then there are some that give simply because they feel it is the right thing to do. They're motivated by sympathy in some way. I know you've probably seen them on TV, but I have seen commercials with the ASPCA, and they'll show you animals, cats and dogs that are starving and are so malnourished, and they pull on your heartstrings and they say, if you'll only give. I've seen them recently showing pictures of baby elephants and talking about how that they're often killed for their tusks, and they say, make a donation and it'll help save these animals. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with helping in needy causes, but sometimes people only give because something stirs the emotion in their heart and in their life, and they feel like they ought to give. And then others give simply because they want recognition for what they do. They make sure that somebody hears or knows what they've given for someone or some cause. that though all giving is good to a point, Jesus is teaching that giving ought to rise to a higher plane. There is a greater level of giving than giving out of duty or obligation or out of sympathy alone or because of recognition. Jesus says in this verse that whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, Jesus is saying the highest reason that we ought to give is to give in the name of Christ. To give for His glory and for His honor. Because of all we have been given of God. Because of how He's blessed us. Because of how God has given to us, in recognition of that, that ought to be our motivation to give unto others, to help somebody else in need, to encourage and help somebody else. God's love for us, God's grace to us, and God's giving to us ought to be our motivation to give to somebody else. And Jesus is saying that ought to be the reason for our giving. Even if it's a cup of water in my name. Jesus said, whatever you give, whatever you do, and do it in my name. And do it because you're my child. Do it for my glory and my honor. Then secondly tonight, not only is there the reason for giving, but it brings up the thought of the recognition of giving. And I'm not talking about our recognition. And I'm just saying that we ought to recognize what giving is all about. Sometimes we have the idea that our service, our gift, only counts if it's a big thing. That we give something great or something large. But Jesus is saying it isn't the size of the gift. It's how you give it. The reason behind it. The love that you're showing. And that is the recognition of giving. I mentioned it last time. A cup of cold water doesn't seem like a big thing. Doesn't seem like an extraordinary thing. But Jesus says, even if you give a cup of cold water in my name, that's important. I recognize that. I see that. He is saying that we ought not ever underestimate the power and the wonder of a gift. No matter how small it may be. Never underestimate the power of a kind word. Never underestimate the encouragement in a phone call or a text or maybe a warm hug. Don't ever underestimate the importance of even what may seem like something little, a card in the mail. Hey, mean something great to somebody that's discouraged. So Jesus is saying, recognize how important the gift is, no matter how small it may seem. I don't remember how long ago it's been. I'm thinking that it was last year, around Pastor Appreciation Time, how the church had blessed us and our family greatly with what you gave us. People had given us cards and stuff had placed a heavy or something in the card, a gift card or something. And may everyone touch my heart. And I remember a particular card from an elderly lady. And I opened that card, and there were $2 $1 bills in that card. I nearly broke down crying. I thought, Lord, with all the other things that were large, heavy amounts, blessed my heart. But I thought about the widow's mite. And I thought, Lord, there was $2 $1 bills. Thrilled my heart beyond measure. And I asked the Lord, God, would you bless multiple money back to her for giving me $2 bills. I want to tell you, God recognizes that. And God sees that it isn't so much about the largeness, but the heart and the desire just to be a blessing and to be a help. There's a man in the New Testament named Onesiphorus. Onesiphorus by name is only mentioned twice in the New Testament, both times in 2 Timothy. Onesiphorus is not a name that we often think about. Think about the Apostle Paul. Think about the disciples. We think about Simon Peter. Think about Timothy and some of those others. But not Onesiphorus. But Paul says this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Lord did mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy in the Lord in that day. And in how many things he ministered unto me in Ephesus, down to us very well. Paul said, Onesiphorus, he may not have the big name of a lot of others, but he oft refreshed me. He blessed me. He encouraged me. Sought me out. I don't know what he did for Paul. Maybe he just gave him a cup of cold water. I don't know. But it was the recognition of the giving. Jesus is saying, don't ever think what you have is too little or too small. But give it in my name. You never know how it will be a blessing. But then lastly, let me say something about the reward of giving. A reward of giving. Jesus warned in Matthew chapter 6 about the dangers of giving our alms for all to see. And he said, when you give your alms, do it in secret, for the Father that seeth in secret shall reward you openly. Jesus said, when you give something, don't make a big fanfare about it, but just give it. Give it in my name, and the Father that sees it in secret shall one day reward you openly. I believe there are at least three blessings involved. First of all, there is the blessing of you giving to somebody. They're going to be blessed. You may say, well, I don't have a whole lot to give, but if you give it in Jesus' name, it'll bless them. But then there is the blessing that you'll receive down here in giving. I'm not saying that it will be some big outstanding thing, but God will bless your heart for giving. God will bless you, and it'll warm your heart. But then the third blessing is the one that you'll receive there. God will reward you in that day. And when you have given something in His name to be a blessing unto others. You see, we don't give these things just simply for a reward, but God will reward it. He will one day give a reward for that we have given in His name in that day. I'm thankful tonight for those that have been encouragers in my life. I'm thankful tonight for people who some small thing has spoken to my heart in their gift and blessed me greatly. I thank God for every gift, large or small. But I want to tell you, it's some of the little things that have touched my heart so greatly. And I desire to be that kind as well. And that brings me to the last verse. In verse 42 through 50, and I'm only going to talk about verse 42, but verse 42 through 50 are some of the strangest, some of the most difficult teachings of Jesus to grasp. And next time I'm gonna look at those verses. But in verse 42, Jesus says, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his head, and he were cast into the sea. There's a lot of question about who the little ones are. And Jesus said one of these little ones. Some writers seem to think that Jesus was only talking about the little child that he sat in the midst. And that Jesus was talking about offending a little child, a little one. Others seem to think Jesus had the man that John forbade and said to stop preaching or healing in that Jesus' name. Some say that they believe he was talking about him. I kindly tend to think he is talking about both of them. I tend to think that Jesus was giving a warning about putting a stumbling block in front of any of his children. You realize that we're called the children of God. We're called the sons of God. We're his children. And I believe that Jesus is giving a warning. Be careful that you never put a stumbling block to hinder a child or even an adult, a Christian. They may be a weak Christian. They may just be a growing Christian. They may not understand a lot of things spiritually. But be careful lest you put a stumbling block in their way. The idea of a stumbling block was something that would cause them to fall or to fail. So Jesus is warning him, be careful lest you hinder any of my little ones. He said it'd be better if a millstone were tied around their neck, cast into the sea, than to hinder a little one. I put it like this. I think that Jesus has the idea it would be better for God to take someone out of this life early than for them to end their life and cause a stumbling block to a little one of God's. I wondered, as I was thinking about the man, I wonder what happened to him. After John and the others had told him to stop, I wonder if he quit. I wonder if he got so out of heart that he said, if that's how the disciples of Jesus feel, I'll just quit. I wonder if it quenched the fire in his heart and he gave up. Oh, that would have been heartbreaking. I think about a child, a little one. Oh, I don't ever want to put a stumbling block in the way of a little one coming to Christ. I don't ever want to live my life in such a way that to have it is a hindrance to one of God's homes. And I left here, and I went to Concord, the pastor. The pastor that they had messed up his life and his ministry. And the church had to vote him out. And when I went, there was a girl in the church that was somewhere around 11 or so years old. And it really hurt that girl. She couldn't understand all that had happened and why he did what he did, and she had never been saved. And it was a long time, several years, before that girl I ever saw her bow at an altar and give her heart to Jesus. Because that had happened damaged her heart so deeply. I saw others in that church that were hurt so bad, and some never got over it. Some were still damaged by it 15 years later when I came back here. I'm saying we need to be careful lest we hinder any of God's children. I'll be honest, I'd rather the Lord take me home early than to somehow mess up my life and my ministry so much that it damaged the hearts of God's children. Jesus is talking about real giving. Real giving is the kind that does it in His name for the right reason, to be a blessing. And I have never a desire to hurt or hinder, never a desire to put a stumbling block in anybody's way. And that ought to be our prayer tonight. God, help me to walk and live and do in such a way that I'll be a help. I'll be a blessing. I'll be an encouragement. I'll be a strength to somebody along the way. And Lord, help me to never put a stumbling block or a hindrance in anybody's life. Whether it's one of these little boys and girls, or whether it's some adult child of God. Oh Lord, help me to never be a hindrance unto them. That ought to be our prayer. And that is our desire. That's the lesson the Lord put on my heart to teach unto our hearts tonight. I hope maybe it was a challenge unto you. I hope that maybe somehow the Lord put something in your heart about our giving that will give in the right reason, the right way, and for His honor and His glory, that He may be magnified. I appreciate